Do it again.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world.
You're listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
Hey girl, a martini, shaken, not stirred.
Don't try and church it up, son.
You can't handle the truth.
I am big. The picture that got small.
Your first one's on us.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling. I'm your host, Mark Grigadano, and with me as always...
Richie Byrne. I'm not happy.
Why are you happy?
Look, I don't know.
That's the clearest I've ever seen.
Joey wants the thing down, but then it looks like I'm bald, so... Yeah.
Everyone knows you got a very full, thick of Irish...
All I have left hair. Is my fucking hair, okay? I finally found a venue that, like, I'd be happy if it was like this, bro. You ready?
Just the hair.
Hey, Mark.
I'm talking the Richie Burns wig. And today.
A little wet still from, but I'm there. I'm there. How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. How are you? I'm a little hungover.
Yeah, well, you know, birthday boy yesterday.
I turned the big 6-0.
Don't look a day over 58. So
I asked my kids, or actually Angie asked the kids, they go, how old do you think Daddy turns tomorrow? And this was on the 11th. And Axel goes, I don't know, 68. And Duke goes, 70. And I'm like, I don't feel a day over 60. So I guess I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good.
Well, that's good. But you had a nice day. You ate some wings.
Oh, I ate so many wings. I was crying at night. My stomach hurt. I was so bloated. I was chugging beers and eating wings like I was 20 years old again.
I tell you, yeah, we had a great birthday guest for you.
Oh, my God.
Richie Minervini. Wow. What a show.
So goddamn funny. Just a million stories.
And
you were saying he didn't even hit the edge of the iceberg.
He called me today. And I said, Richie, what's up? And he said, I think that many liked it, but I'm not sure.
It sounded happy.
Everyone's right here. And Mark.
Kevin Downey Jr.'s ex-wife used to call him Pooh Bear. I thought that was the greatest.
Oh, that's a great name for Richie.
He is. He's like Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
If you ever share a condo with him, he walks around with a shirt and no pants.
No way. Really?
No.
Because that's what I'm doing right now.
You're going Winnie the Pooh style?
Oh, I'm. I got my honey. So we got a great show today.
We have an awesome show. Should we just?
I mean, I think we need to bring him up, but I mean, I know that Christiane says happy birthday to you.
Her
birthday was last week. I know that we say it's a great show today.
We always say it's a great show.
I know.
It's because we only bring in the finest guests.
We do. We're very lucky, you and I. And Joel, because we met some great people doing this.
Yeah.
Doing comedy. And it was what we talked about when we first talked about doing the show was, Jesus, we know some of the best.
And we
knew that we wouldn't have to do a lot of work.
Which is my goal in life, really. Thank you, Bill, for the birthday.
Bill Barrett. I grew up with Billy Barrett.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he comes on every day. He's a good guy, man. Thank you, Bill.
I love it.
So we don't have, normally we do something like dropping names or shameful promotion. We got nothing today.
No, we're just, because we know we have a good guest. We got to run.
We got to run with it. So let's get him out here. You bring him out, Mark.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's all give a big round of applause for our guest, Tim Grumpier. Tim Grumpier. You look amazing.
Oh, thanks. I don't have any light on in here. That's yeah.
We're in quarantine.
Yeah.
And you look like your hair is freshly cut. You're wearing a starched shirt.
Yeah, how do you do that?
I cut my own hair.
I haven't. Look at this. You can't really see it.
Look at it. Buddy, I'll cut it for you. I'm doing my neighbor's hair. I wear a mask and gloves.
Oh, shit.
I Lysol their heads.
Do you That's really what I'm doing. Cut the neighbor's hair?
I cut my neighbor's hair. Yeah, I know. You guys know me. I got to look. I've lost 5 pounds in quarantine.
You're the only person during a quarantine.
Yeah, well, my kids eat all the food.
No.
So it's not hard.
Did you guys – shit, I wish I had told Joey. Did you guys see CeCe Sabathia?
Oh, yeah, he looks good. He finally got in shape. Yeah.
Holy shit, dude. It's like, that guy was like a fat tub of goo his whole career.
He used to be my favorite baseball player because I go, look, I'm built like a professional.
Yeah.
Athlete.
Now he retires. You got to see him. He's jacked.
Yeah. Now he doesn't have to waste all that time playing baseball. He can lift weights.
Yeah.
His wife's worried. She's like, what's he getting in shape for now? What does this mean?
Yeah, really.
She just fired all the nannies.
But did you really lose weight during this, you fuck?
I did. I lost a little.
All right.
Well, let's talk about how we can put that back on. The first thing we do at every show is talk about our drinks.
What are you drinking?
I got my drink of quarantine has been Tito's and ginger ale.
That's why you're so thin.
Really?
Tito's ginger ale, little lime.
I've never done vodka with ginger ale.
Oh, you know what's great about it? Your stomach the next morning doesn't irritate at all.
You know, it's funny you say that because my problem with ginger ale is I only drank it when I was sick as a kid.
Right.
So now whenever I drink a little ginger ale, I feel sick.
Oh, really? Oh, they don't. Yeah.
It's not the vodka. It's the ginger ale.
It's the Irish. That's what it is.
Yeah. Why would you waste beautiful vodka with it? No, I'm kidding.
No, it's great. I've had that or red wine. That's what I drink. Those are my two drinks.
Yeah, cool, man. All right. Yeah. Nice. Well, thank you for the drink. Mark, what are you drinking?
I have a special drink just for Tim Crampier.
Uh-oh.
Because you are if it doesn't get canceled, you're going to be here on June 6th. At Barnegat, New Jersey, playing lefties at Soul Joel's gig. So I have Ship Bottom Barnegat Lager.
That was a long way to go to have a drink.
Listen, I'm not exercising. I'm stretching.
I'm just saying, Crampier might be doing lefties.
I can pretty guarantee you that I'm not doing lefties, guys.
Hey, let me tell you something, Timmy. When it's a Joel gig, it's not canceled till the day of lately. Yeah. Joel refuses to accept.
They have to zoom me in. I'll zoom in to do the show.
He actually had me drive all the way out to Royersford last Friday to do a gig, an outdoor gig, and it rained and they canceled it.
Tornadoes.
And I'm drinking my go-to, my Johnny Black on the rocks.
You love your Johnny Black, man.
Wow.
You're very consistent.
Love it.
I respect it.
What about the blue? Do you like the blue?
Love the blue, but I'm on unemployment. I can't afford it. I'm going to be going down to the green soon. Or what? No, what's the one below black? Red. I'll be going red before you know.
Green now too, right?
Yeah, green's an in-between.
Green's in between.
It's a blended, blended scotch.
Tell you what I don't like, the double black. It's too – I think Joel gave it to me for Christmas, so this is embarrassing now. But it's too – like you really taste the wood.
Yeah.
You really – no, I'm serious. Like you're
it's
like,
70% proof and 80% barrel.
Yeah.
It's like blowing a lumberjack.
I can taste a Kentucky guy. It's disgusting. Did I just blow a guy from Kentucky with three teeth? Or did I have some?
Kentucky
what is this?
Bourbon. Kentucky is bourbon.
Whatever it is.
Scotch. It's easier to blow it. It's easier to blow a scotch when he's in a kilt.
You know when he's ready.
I think it's hysterical that two of the best comics I know and me. And we went right for the dick joke right away. There was no wasting time.
Because we're professionals, buddy. All right. We know who's watching. We know who's watching.
Speaking of jokes, do you have a street joke for us?
Yes. They asked me. This is a very horrible street joke. I'm going to tell it. Okay. So you might have heard it. So there's a family, a husband, wife, a little boy, and a puppy. And they're all playing on a giant cliff, having a beautiful picnic. And it's rocks for miles down, but they're having a wonderful picnic. The little boy throws a ball to the dog. The ball goes past the dog, starts going for the edge of the cliff. The dog jumps to grab the ball. He's going to fall over the cliff. The dad runs, jumps, grabs the dog before he's going to go over the cliff. He starts going over the cliff. The mother runs, jumps, grabs the father. They're all three of them are about to go over the cliff. The little boy runs over, goes to grab the father, the mother, and the dog. They slip out of his hands. They tumble to the end of the mountain, and they die. And he's just standing there, and he's looking down at them, and he's crying. And a man comes along. He's like, son, is something wrong? He's like, yeah, I was playing ball with my dog, and I threw it, and the dog jumped over the cliff, and my dad went and jumped the dog, and then my mom went to grab my dad, and then I went to grab them. They fell, and they went down to the bottom of the rocks of the cliff, and they're all dead. And the man pulls his pants down, pulls his underwear down, puts his hand on the kid's shoulder and says, son, that's not the worst thing that's going to happen today.
You know what's funny? I've heard that other ways. Like, they were all drowned.
Right.
And I've heard it where the guy takes his pants down and goes, kid, this just ain't your day.
Your day. That's a better way to say it, probably. It's a horrible
joke. Here's the thing. When you get a bunch of comics together, you always go for the throat on the jokes.
I had to.
I was at a party, and it was like Tom Cotter, Al Ducharme, Spanky, Kevin Downey. It's all the Upper West Side guys who used to.
Yeah.
And we're all at this party, and we're all telling stories about coming close to or pooping our pants. And we started laughing. We're like, we're supposed to be the elite comics,
right?
In the country. And what is making us giggle like little kids?
Poop.
The fact that Downey almost pooped himself in a cornfield.
Well,
yeah.
If you put comedians in a room together, if you put a comedian on stage, the other comedians in the room will be going, oh, I can't believe he did that.
Yeah.
Can you believe? But then you put them together in the back, and they're all telling the worst jokes, going, that's fucking great. That's
All the audience members would be going, I can't believe he told that.
And the cleaner the comic, the filthier he is off stage. That's I've learned too.
Yeah.
If you heard what they were saying off stage, you'd be running for your car.
Right.
That's what Panette used to say in the green room, because we'd have the most bizarre, horrible conversations of just the funniest stuff to make each other laugh. He goes, Timmy, if the audience ever heard us in the green room, they'd go running for their cars.
There he is.
Oh, there's my buddy.
So you opened for John for a while, right? A lot of years?
A lot of years. I opened for about 5.5 years, and I wrote two specials with them.
I can't imagine how much fun you must have had in those.
Oh, it was either the best time or the worst time. That's all I could say. It was a lot in between.
I'll tell you a funny story. He was working at Governor's here in Long Island, and I was middling for him. And I don't know why. I don't know how I got the gig, but he's so funny, man. He comes up to me and he goes, "Listen, I was doing Thursday through Sunday. He was just doing Friday, Saturday, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't getting paid till Sunday." So Saturday night, he takes me aside. He's listen, I want to tell you something. He said, I know you're a headliner. I know that you don't normally middle, but I have a thing, and I do it for everybody. I don't want to offend you.
I know. Yeah.
I tip $100 to the opening acts. I give the opening act, but I don't want you to be offended by me, because you're not going to get it till tomorrow when you get paid. But I don't want you to be. I'm like, I'm not offended. Give it to me right now.
Offense not taken.
Yeah.
He was great. He
was so giving. Yeah, he did for me when I started really working with him a lot in writing. He's like, I'm going to make sure you get paid as a really great headliner on the road with me, plus a bonus, so you don't feel like you're missing out on anything.
I mean,
I remember seeing him, and the other thing that I know you must have loved was he had his audience. He had
a huge following.
And they were so giving. They were in his audience.
Yeah.
Regan the same way. Brian Regan the same way. Their audiences loved comedy. They didn't go to a show and go, when's Brian coming out? They went to a show to have a good fucking night.
Oh yeah.
And they knew if you were going on before, both of them, Regan or Panette, if this guy must be good because he's working with John.
Right. John was such a gentleman. What he would do, and I have video of it, he would actually introduce me off stage. So I would get it. So
it was a seal of approval.
Yeah, approval. Like, this guy is my guy. He's one of my good friends. First, he'd make fun of me for 5 minutes. And then he would do like the fun, have the whole audience be laughing. And he was like, please let, you know. And then I'd go out and have a great time, a great set, and bring him up. But he didn't have to do that. I've opened for a lot of people that don't do that. And he's like, no, he said, I'm doing it. He said, he told me that Sinatra did that for him once. Yep. Sinatra introduced. Yep.
Are you serious?
Sinatra's guy or Sinatra would make a video. Like, yeah, he said guys like that did that for him. So he always tried to pass that on. He said it, and he opened up for everybody. Like he opened up for people. I was like, you opened for that? I mean, Michael Bolton, he used to fly around on a jet with Michael Bolton when Michael Bolton was at the height of Michael Bolton, you know?
Michael Bolton's a metalhead, too, so he's probably actually fun to hang with.
He said, he's a cool guy, Michael Bolton.
Yeah, he said he was great, and he said, he's open to stadiums. He's like, there's nothing harder than walking out to a million people that are there to see somebody else and make them laugh, you know?
Yeah.
He had great Sinatra stories.
Really?
I used to stay with him with Sinatra. I said, how did you know when to end your set? Did you have like a timer light? He goes, you ended your set. You never knew how long you were going to do. You ended your set when you got a little like light on the side, a little flashlight. And it was Mr. Sinatra with his longtime manager fixing his tie. And he's like, and they just go like this. He goes, you could be in the middle of a joke. As soon as you saw that, you're like, thank you. Good night. And then you ran off stage.
Really?
Yep. He said it could be 5 minutes. It could be 30 minutes. You didn't know. You didn't know when he felt like, whenever he felt like walking down to get to start and get on stage is when they did it.
I mean, that, imagine that to me is show business. Saying you open for Sinatra.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
No, I know.
You know, I mean, what could be, there's not much you could say after that. Like,
no, it's just Sinatra. It's Sinatra.
Yeah. Yeah. So how you holding up with this?
Oh, I'm like everybody else. You know, I'm just trying to get meat and toilet paper like the rest of us. You know, just looking to eat and wipe my ass. I get toilet paper. I act like I'm a hotshot, like I'm Bill Gates or something. I'm like, yeah, look what I got. Look what I got. I might just blow my nose with it. That's how crazy I feel today.
See, we didn't get nailed in PA as bad as you guys did.
Oh, really?
Like there was a shortage, but like I go to Sam's Club, I buy a case of toilet paper, no problem.
Yeah, I went to try to get paper towels at Costco. They were all out. They only had toilet paper.
One day, I went to this deli near where I live. I'm not gonna say where because then everyone's gonna run there. But I knew. There was a shelf they had, like, way on top. And one time I went in this deli, they had toilet paper there, right? So I knew. I said, no one's going to ever go to a deli to get toilet paper. So one day, my wife's like, we're almost out. I go, we're fine. I got this. And I go to the deli. And they got, like, 50 rolls of toilet paper on this top shelf. And the guy goes, can I help you? I go, yeah, can you help me get, like, the rolls down? And he looks at me. And he goes, how many do you want? I go, like 10. And he starts laughing. And he gets the toilet paper down. And the other guys start laughing. I go, you guys are laughing because I came here to get toilet paper. And they go, no, we had that shelf open for years. We didn't know what to do with it. That's our toilet paper for the deli. So and he goes, nobody's ever thought to look up and see it. You're the first guy. And I'm like, well, I go, how much is it? They're like, we don't know. We don't know.
That's hysterical. Yeah, it's crazy, man. I got three kids. I'm homeschooling. Six. No, no. I'm sorry. Four, six, and eight.
Wow.
Or nine. Aiden's nine. Sorry.
I have a four and a six. Right.
Hopefully, Aiden's not watching.
Yeah, he's fine.
Daddy doesn't love me. Yeah, so,
but he loved Daddy's joke.
Yeah.
I have a four and a six, man. It's rough.
Yeah, this homeschooling is really getting to me, man. Yeah, it's not easy.
I joke around. I think I'm busier now than I was when we were working and out on the road, because at least on the road you had downtime.
No, there's no downtime anymore.
Zero downtime, man.
No. I literally ran up here from outside. They were outside. I'm like, I got to get inside. Everybody get inside.
I really feel bad for you guys. I've been drinking since noon.
So have we. Trust me, Richie. So have we.
But you're still working, right? You're working. Like you're one of those comics who has other things going on.
It's I've been lucky. I lost a lot. Like everybody else did, you know, I was supposed to go on this, 2.5 month tour for scarymommy.com. All theaters all across the country, everything was booked. And then that all got canceled, obviously, with everything else. And, So I have my writing job. I write for iHeartRadio.
Right.
So I still have that, which is happening. But and then what happened was I started getting someone one day emails me. I have a sales team and I want to do a comedy show during the sales meeting on Zoom. Would you do it? And I was like, no. And then I'm like, that's not how comedy is supposed to be done. And then I didn't write. And first I'm like thinking that. I said, my wife's like, what else are you doing? I'm like, you're right. I'm like, so I just said, I'll do it for X amount of dollars. He's like, okay, I'll Venmo you. So I did like 20 minutes on the guy's, I just logged into his thing and just went right into jokes.
Mark's done a few. I haven't really done it and I'm nervous.
Some have been great. Some have been awesome. And then I've had one or two that are a little awkward because what happens if no one knows each other, they don't know whether to laugh. Like, you know what I mean? Like they don't know each other. It's like, I did one where everybody was, except for three people were meeting each other at that moment. It was a sales team from all across the country. So no one even knew who. I did one for 150 teachers last week. They all logged on. It was like pages of people on the Zoom meeting. And that went awesome. I just stayed on the one page. It was three women laughing so hard. I just focused on them like this the whole time. Like it was a club.
See, but you hit the magic words there in 20 minutes. I mean, like Mark's telling me people want 40, 45. I think that's too much.
I do 30. 30 is my – I cut off. I'll say I charge between 20 and 25 and 30. I usually do 30. I did one where I did 35, but that's because in the middle of it, they stopped to ask me questions about my career because they looked me up. They want to know about all the stuff. Like, did you interview this person? I'm like, yeah. Like, it was very funny. And I just started answering questions. I'm like, you just so you guys know, this is all on the clock. They're like, oh, it's fine. We want to ask you questions.
That's awesome. I logged on and they said to keep it clean. I'm like, yeah, I'm always clean. And then it pops up and it's 12 children.
I was like, oh, see, I have a thing about that. I immediately write no kids. And I tell them when they ask me, I also say no. So like I had one show. It was like 3 days, 4 days before the show. And then I get a message. Hey, can you not talk about certain things? And she starts listing all these things like, you know, sex or blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I don't want to feel edited. I don't want to feel at all. This is stressful enough and hard enough to do. I don't want to have to think the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, if this was a real corporate for your company and you were paying me $3,000 to $5,000, I'd be up there and dance like a monkey in a dress for you.
Right.
No problem.
Right.
But I charge $150 that you Venmo me. I'm going to go up there. I'm just trying to have a good time in my bedroom. So she was like, totally understand. She goes, I watched your act. It's not you. It's I'm afraid of my HR. Someone says that someone goofs around, likes your joke afterwards, and HR heals it and was like, what happened? So I just wrote, hey, man, if you want to do a private show with them and not do it through your work. And just so we ended up doing a private show instead. She had more people on and I got to say whatever I wanted. I don't curse at all.
You're right. I mean, whenever I do a corporate or something, they tell you stand on your hand, you stand on your hands, you know. But you're right. I got too much shit to deal with right now.
Yeah, I have three kids screaming behind me in the bedroom. Right. They're all locked, you know, tied up to the radiator so they won't run up here in the middle of daddy's show. You know, I'm like, I don't have time for this. Like, and it's funny because after the show, I said to the girl, would that have been too much for HR? And then one of the women was an HR person from another company watching. She's like, the end, when you were talking about like sex with your wife, even though it's not dirty, people might repeat the joke and then someone will get in trouble. And I'm like, I want you guys to all look in the windows at each other. You are grown ass adults. This is sad. If you 30 somethings can't handle a joke where I say I tied my wife up for her anniversary and then I went to Hooters for dinner. If that's too much for you.
Yeah.
I mean, First of all, that's technically a great joke.
It's tremendous.
So and she agreed. She's like, no, it's not you. It's just there's always one person that ruins it. So that's my right away. No kids. That's it.
I think HR people need to say, there was one person who was offended, so we fired them.
Right, exactly. Do you really want to work with that person? Who wants to work with the one person that took the joke the wrong way? Ugh.
You know what happened to me once? I was doing a corporate gig, I think in Michigan, and it was like suits It was like one of these places where they had a warehouse. So you had the lower class workers.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And you had the suits. And never the twain shall meet. But in this situation, there's always that one party where everybody from the company it comes together. And half of them are all in gorgeous suits. And the other half are all wearing jeans and got tattooed. You know those shows where you laugh and you're like, you guys are the mechanics, right? You know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah.
How often does Sal get to hang with, you know,
Leonardo? Right. So, I'm doing the show and there's a guy in the front drunk heckling the shit out of me. Just killing me. Won't shut up. And people are getting angry. And that's the worst thing about corporates is, you guys know, that when the other people are in the room, a part of a company, like if an audience gets mad, it's one thing. But when they're mad at the other person, now it's a whole weird vibe.
Yeah.
So at one point I go to the guy, where do you work? And he told me his division. And I go, man, I would kill to be a fly on the wall in your boss's office on Monday morning when everybody went crazy. I go, because he's going to ream you out. And everybody goes crazy. After the show, some guy comes up to me and he says, hey, great show, man. I go, thanks. He goes, you know who I am? I go, no. He goes, I'm that guy's boss. And you want to be a fly on the fucking wall on Monday. Oh, he was so pissed. It was
in
so
that
weird.
Moment, you should have bought him a drink to
I should have had
deal.
A Bowery on speaker.
Listen, when you're doing a live show corporate, you'll deal with anything just to get that check. That check's always so nice, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think we had Vic Henley on, and he said that. He goes, well, it's a corporate gig, and you're paying me enough money.
Yeah, he did.
Whatever you want. I won't swear. I won't do whatever.
Sure.
If I'm playing your basement, I'm doing whatever to.
Yeah.
Because his point, he was making a point. He played juniors in Erie.
Yeah. They have new owners now.
And juniors wouldn't let you curse. And Vic didn't know. And Vic showed up the first night, and they're like.
Well, and he was replacing somebody last
night.
Yeah. He was
so they're like, listen, you can't curse. And he was like, fuck that. And they were like, no. And he was like, listen, you know, I'll help you. Go get somebody else. I'm not going to. This is a comedy club. I'm not listening to that.
Yeah. And for your $400 headlining pay in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
These people don't get it. It's like, ugh. Go open a church.
And I actually really love the owners of Juniors. And I love the club. It was great. But the people in the audience would come up to you after and they'd be like, can you believe that they won't let you fucking curse?
Yeah. It's Erie, Pennsylvania.
They're like, I'm an adult. Don't tell me what I can and can't listen to.
Negative 30 degrees with 8 feet of snow. I think they're okay with the word fuck.
Do you want to hear a great one with the same thing? I do a corporate. It's a private holiday party all the way up. It's almost Canada. We were like 8 feet from Canada on an Indian Indian casino reservation. I had to fly up to Albany, and then a prop plane took me from Albany. Like, sat four people, flew me into this casino. Security picks me up. They're like a security detail that picks me up. I go, what do I need this? They go, oh, well, it's dangerous on the reservation. You know, we're on a reservation. Like, you know, we don't want you to go to the wrong spot. They'll shoot you for trespassing. I'm like, what? What did I get? What did my manager get me into? So they take me to the casino. The hotel's nice. I stay in a nice hotel. They pick the same security details, picks me up. I'm like thinking I'm going to a nice place to do a show. There's like a roadhouse bar, like literally from the movie Roadhouse. That's where the corporate was held for all the employees that work on the
and you
reservation.
Had to be nice until it was time to not be
nice. So I get there. I'm like, this is bananas. I'm dressed like, you know me. I look like a gay accountant 24/7. Right. So I'm just like, they're like, did gay tech support come? Like, I mean, it was bad. So I get there. Everyone's really like looking around. There's like 200 people. And they're like, you know, the chief is here. And then a guy in the corner, I see a guy's like 6'6" Indian guy. It looks like the chief. Like if there was ever a guy that looks like the chief, this guy looked like the chief. He had two twin daughters. I called them the Radisson sisters. I shouldn't have done that. Because they were like heavy set. They look like Richie, but they had long blonde, bleach blonde hair, and they were tan, all done up. And they stood next to him like they were his women, but they were his sisters, and they were very religious, the whole family. They owned a church. Oh. So I'm literally 5 minutes before I'm going to go up. I'm not joking. I have my thing out. I'm sweating. I'm sweating because I'm afraid someone's going to sexually assault me. It's going to be a 48 hours show. Like, I have the whole thing in my head. Like, I could already hear the narrator. Like, they found me in the ravine on the Canadian border. Like, you know,
if Ned Beatty did comedy.
Yeah, my head was scalped and my anus was penetrated, like the whole thing. So I'm reading the thing, and this beautiful blonde woman walks up to me, like, and she's very nervous. I go, "Can I help you?" She goes, "I'm the chief's assistant." I go, "Okay." She goes, "I needed to give you this list of words you're not allowed to say." I'm like, "What?" She's like, and she hands me. I'm like, "You guys hired me. You saw my tape. We went through the whole process. So it was like every word. You know, in my act, I look at it. I had like an hour prepared. I'm like, all right, I got 18 minutes now.
Wow.
So I look at the girl. I go, I'm freaking out. I'm like, she's like, no, not this. No, not this. No, not this. Okay, you can't do this. No. They're like ripping my pages. I'm like, what? So I just look at them finally. And only a comic that's been doing it long enough says, I just looked at it. I go, "Hey, is there a wireless mic?" And she goes, "Yeah." I go, "We'll be fine." And then I just threw my book down. I did my 20 minutes of clean, and then I went right into the mullets. I see there's no dental plan at this casino, sir. Ah, what are you laughing at? And I just went off for 40, and I was so angry about it. I get a standing ovation. The freaking chief hugs me at the end of the night, and I'm like, someone just get me to the airport. I just need to get out of here.
Those gigs are so weird, man.
Oh.
Those gigs, when you worry that much, and then they love you, and you're like, nah, you blew it. I gotta go.
I gotta get out of here. I remember calling my manager the next morning. I'm like, if they want me again, it's $1,000 more. That's all I'm saying.
I gotta tell a funny story about you. I guess 6-7 months ago, Mark, I'm sitting in a bar. I know it's hard to believe.
No.
Sitting in a bar.
Not you, Richie. No.
It's like 1:30 in the morning, and I get a message.
Oh.
From Cropia. And he's like, who's your favorite Oz? Was that you, or was that what you said? Hold on.
No, I messaged you. I'm standing next to Dr. Oz right now.
Hold on. I got it right here.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I don't. But you said, no, I do.
No, I don't.
Let me pull it up. Maybe
you
I
wrote, can. You said, I'm at Elvis Duran's wedding.
Yeah.
And it's 1 a.m, Mark. I'm at Elvis Duran's wedding. It's a Friday night, Saturday morning.
It was the pre-party.
Yeah, your boss is standing next to me, and he's a hell of a dancer.
Oh, yeah. He was cutting it up, man.
Yeah.
Me and my wife were watching Dr. Oz. We're like, man, look at him.
So I'm like, what the hell? Where are you? It's what? And he goes, I'm at Elvis Duran's wedding. And I'm like, oh. And I know you work for Elvis, and I love Elvis.
Yeah, he's
Elvis
the best.
Elvis and Oz are very close. They're good friends.
He spoke at his wedding. He did a very beautiful speaking at his ceremony. It was amazing.
Did he really? God, the man will take a mic anywhere.
I mean, wonderful. Everyone was he was amazing.
So that's Friday night / Saturday morning. So now Saturday that day, the next day, it's like noon. I'm at the bank and I get a text from Tom Kelly.
And he
said, there, "Who's your favorite Oz?" No, he says, "Who's your favorite person at the Dr. Oz show?" And I wrote, "Dr. Oz."
Yeah.
And he writes, "Okay, his wife's gonna be pissed." I go, why? He goes, because I'm with her right now. And I told her, she said that you'd say her. And I go, no. She's my favorite Oz. You said, who's the favorite person at the Dr. Oz
show? That's right.
I go, this is so weird. I go, why are you with them? And he writes, I'm at Elvis Duran's wedding. I'm like, how fucking long is this wedding?
We got there on a Thursday. Let me tell you, that's pre-party, the first party, the Friday night, was like one of the best parties I've ever.
Elvis told me that.
It was beyond, and I'm like, Elvis, this is the most amazing place I've ever been to. The guy from Game of Thrones that created Game of Thrones created this place. He owns it. He lives in Santa Fe.
So it was 3 hours earlier.
What was it called? My wife will remember. My wife, you know, was like in heaven. It was I mean, and the wedding was amazing too. The wedding was unbelievable, but the pre-party to me was like something I'd never seen before.
Now Elvis comes on the show and I tell him the story. And I go, I said, I feel like every time I turn around, somebody was writing me about your wedding, Elvis. And he goes, oh yeah, it was great. I go, but here's my question. Why wasn't I invited?
I was lucky to be invited. I mean, it was a great weekend. He's such a gracious person.
He goes, you know what he said? He goes, you really think if he showed up, I would have turned you away? Yeah. He's such a good
guy. And he wouldn't. He's such a good guy. He invited us. I got the invitation. I'm like, I think they messed up.
Yeah.
Like, and my wife's so funny because as soon as we got the save the date, she's like, date saved. And then when we got the invitation that tells you like where it is and what the day, my wife, I'm not joking, 4 minutes later, picks up the phone, calls the hair salon in the hotel, books a room, books an appointment for her hair, her nails. Every, you know, if you know my wife, you know, she hangs up the phone and goes, watch. I got the first appointments. Literally 2 months later, she gets a call from the hotel. Like, can you switch your times around? We're getting inundated with all these people calling. No one can get a hair appointment. My wife goes, no, that's why I called 2 months ago, and then hangs up the phone. Like a true New Yorker, like a true girl from Queens. No, that's why I called 2 months ago. That's their problem.
Clicky.
Gee, what a shock. You get it inundated at a gay wedding.
Yeah, of hair and makeup and nails. She had it done twice. She had Friday and then Saturday was a whole revisit. Plus, this wedding cost me a fortune, Richie. It was cost me a fortune.
I bet. So tell us what you do for Elvis.
Well, I don't do it for Elvis. I write for iHeart. I write my own radio show. And then some people use stuff. I just know Elvis from iHeart.
Okay. Explain this to me. So you write your own.
So I used to work for a company before I worked for iHeart, and we did radio programming. We did song parodies. We did all the comedy bits. Like, so
and
they were.
It would go out to radio stations around the country.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so I worked with David Brody, who's one of the Elvis producers. I worked closely with him. He was the first person I met.
Right.
So that's what I did. And then we moved over. Then iHeart offered me and Tom and our whole comedy department. Some people left. And then I went and contacted iHeart. And I was like, I want to work for the iHeart Radio. So me and Tom were like, we have this. And they're like, no, we know who you are. And then we basically just left our old company and went work for them because we wanted to work for them.
That must be incredibly pressure filled, but a lot of fun too.
Yeah, I started doing it 16 years ago. I've been there for five something years, but I've had a relationship with Elvis for years. But he's like such a genius. Like, I can't tell you, like, that guy's on a whole other level of doing a radio show. In fact, if you listen now, they're doing it from their home. He's never been better. Like, he's like on fire. Like, it's like he feels like he needs to bring everybody together and he's on fire. Yeah, his wedding. He gave a car away at his wedding. Do you know that?
It's such a radio thing.
Dude, he had a car. He had a brand new. I'm not kidding. Because you got into the most beautiful room you've ever seen in your life. It was like there was a shopping center he set up. After the ceremony, you came out to a shopping center. Like, all the stuff my wife was buying in town all week for top dollar was free at Elvis's wedding. I looked at her. I'm like, you're returning all that shit. And just get, he had like a, you got bags and you can fill it up with trinkets. Just
15th
trinkets.
Caller has a chance to win the new Kia.
The Caligula called. He's pissed.
Yeah, he gave away a Mini Cooper, a four-door Mini Cooper Super Sport.
What?
Leather. Not like a cheap one. Like, the best one you can get was in the corner of a room. And it said, this will be raffled off tonight.
Call in
so
now.
We stayed, of course. Like, no one left the wedding 4 minutes before the music. It's like,
Jackson.
My wife's like, I remember my stomach wasn't feeling good because I had drank so much earlier in the day, and I'm like, hon, we gotta get up at 6 a.m. to get home. She's like, I want to know who's winning that car.
Did you guys have a raffle? Were you in?
Every guest had a raffle. They just reached in a name at the end. And a guy from Staten Island won.
No.
Yeah. And then Elvis is so cool, of course. He's like, oh, by the way, don't think we're going to make you pay tax and to get it back to Staten Island. I'm paying for that too. Wow. So he not only won it, he had the car shipped for you. I'm like, this is, it was just too much. It was the most loving weekend. Everybody, it was so funny because it was like New York fell on the small Santa Fe, which is a small country, you know, southwestern town, amazing town. And like, it was just funny. It's like all these New Yorkers walking down the street, you know, wife beaters and stuff. It was just, no, not like, but it's just like, you know, it was amazing. And it was like, everybody was like perfect. I guess I met all these strangers that I became best friends with.
Like, you have to feel like you're in the business when you're at a wedding like that, though. Like, you must have felt.
Well,
like,
yeah. I mean, there was a lot like of
Hollywood.
There was a lot. I mean, Dr. Oz, I mean, I've always felt like I was in the business, Richie.
No, but I mean, you know when I felt like I wasn't in the business? When half the wedding called me to tell me how great a wedding it was.
Even Chris Roach had a reaction to this.
Yeah. He's like, what?
That's our Chris Roach.
I can see. It's a lot of Chris Roach.
It's a lot of, it's hard to get rid of Chris Roach.
You ever see the movie Beethoven?
No. Oh, yeah.
With the dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much the Chris Roach clip.
Dude, that is a great story, man.
Elvis's wedding was great, man. It was bananas. Like, it's like one of those things you'll never get to do again. And I'm like, I think that's why he invited us. He's like, they'll never get to do this again. Let them come to the wedding. Kristen doesn't get out at all, you know.
How's she doing, by the way?
She's good. She's downstairs, I'm sure, angry about something.
How long have you been married?
Almost 11 years.
Okay. Wow.
Right around the same time.
We got married. Mark's wedding was not too far, like a year after mine, maybe?
Yep. And your brother was our DJ.
My brother DJ'd and MC'd your wedding. Yep.
If anybody ever needs a DJ, you hire him, because then you can tell everybody that it's Billy Zabka from Karate Kid.
Do you know that he got laid so many times in the 80s because of that?
I believe it.
Yeah.
Your brother looks like a bad guy in every 80s movie.
Yeah, my brother. Yeah. In the 80s, I remember he'd be like, don't I look like the guy from Karate Kid? I'm like, you're so full of yourself.
Yeah, you have a lot of brothers and sisters, right?
Yeah, I have four sisters and a brother.
Wow.
And then and then I have a stepsister I grew up with and two stepbrothers.
Wow.
Yeah, big family.
Holy shit.
And you grew up across from the Amityville Horror House.
I grew up around the block, yeah. My brother lives in the house directly across the street from the Amityville Horror House.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Because, you know, back in the 80s, I wasn't living in Long Island. I was on tour with this show, a play, and we went to the Amityville Horror House. We found it. We were working out in Amityville. And it was like five of us from the cast. And we're standing outside the house. Timmy, I swear to God, we're standing outside the house and we're like, you can feel a vibe, man. You can feel it.
It was creepy back then too. It had the wrought iron fence back then.
But then some post office, some mailman comes up and he goes, you guys here because of the Amityville Horror House? We're like, yeah. He goes, it's down the street. We went to the wrong house.
Around Halloween time, my brother sends people down the block because people just line up. And he's like, it's the wrong house. It's the wrong house.
It's the wrong house.
But it's the right house. Well, the house now is gorgeous. It's like a, you know.
Make a left at the goblin.
Yeah. People on Halloween think my brother's house is the horror house because he decorates it so crazy. My brother has one of those houses that people come from miles to see because it's like got a light show and like smoke and it's crazy. People just line up down the block to trick or treat. He has things that come down at you as you walk up the path. It's nuts. But the horror house is really across the street. It's the $2 million house across the street on the water. It's like beautiful.
Hey, Jack Hoffman just wrote into it. He said, you guys are all wedding rookies. I celebrate 43 on May 15th. Wow.
Wow. Congratulations.
Jack, congrats. Jack. Hopefully they make it with this quarantine.
Is that the same woman? If you're married two or three times, you get to add how many years you've actually been married.
It all counts.
It's like algebra. Like,
Jack's a good man. Do you know Jack? You know Jack Hoffman, right?
He's good. I think so.
My episode of Live at Gotham, I steal his drink on camera.
Oh, really?
I'm on the shoulder, and I stole his drink, chugged it down, then put it down left.
I have a great Live at Gotham story when I was on.
Yes,
tell before it. My computer goes out. My computer needs a plug.
Thanks for being prepared there.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a full, I've gone down a full battery with you guys.
You're looking at it. You're looking at you going, ah, how long can I be
he's
on?
He's going to tell the story and then his computer's going to die. And we're
I have 20, I have 20, I have 22% ready to tell this story. All right. So live at Gotham, right? I'm doing live at Gotham. I'm all pumped. I got my set ready. And the host is Craig Carton. Remember from the morning show?
Yeah.
That's in jail.
Yes.
So I'm like, gee, why is Craig Carton hosting a comedy show? Last week they had a comic host the comedy show. Yeah. Now we got Craig Carton hosting the comedy show. So he's now downstairs in the green room. You know, they have you in the bar waiting. And he's pounding. Hey, what comes? We start talking. Ends up, we had a lot of the same friends in radio. My first boss at radio, he was his son's roommate in college. Like, we would like hit it off. But I'm like, hey, man, how would you? He goes, I don't have anything prepared. He goes, I've never done comedy in my life. I just have a thing with Access, and they want to see me, so they put me on this. And I'm like, oh, that's gonna work out great for a live comedy. Like, he doesn't realize just getting drunk going up there. So now I'm like, God, I hope I'm not first on the show, which they the thing, and they're like, you're first. I'm like, oh, great.
You're going to be the warm-up.
So now Craig Carton's drunk, never done stand-up before, and we're about to go live. So he goes up for the 12 or whatever minutes he has to do in the beginning, and you could hear, I mean, it was like, and the audience was pumped. What Drew Frazier does the warm-up or whatever.
Oh, who
does
great, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the audience was on fire. I'm like, yeah. No one can mess this up. Well, he took it to a place that only someone who's never done comedy before that was drunk could take it to.
Yeah.
So just as they're about to, they bring me to my spot, you know, the spot they bring you to before they bring you up. Drew Frazier's now in between. The commercial comes on, and Craig Carton runs off stage. Drew runs up. Drew looks at me down like this, down. He looks at me, and he goes. But the best part was Erin Foley, who I love more than anything. You guys know Erin? Yeah, Erin Foley, she's on the show. Erin's, she lived in LA at the time, but she's a New York, she was a New York comic.
Yeah.
She puts her hand on my shoulder, both her hands on my shoulder as I'm standing in my spot. She leans in, she goes, hey. She turns me around, she looks me right in the eye. She goes, hey, I would never say this to somebody who is about to do a live comedy set, but don't worry, you'll get them back. And that is the only thing that snapped me out of the part of me having a mental breakdown of Drew going, and I just start cracking up. She goes, don't worry, you'll get them back. And you know when you prepare for like a set, for like a TV, a television show, it's like very like, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this. Well, I immediately changed the first 3 minutes of my act.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm going right for the jugular, and I'm going to do things that I know aren't going to get a laugh right away. I'm just going to bang them over the head with quick ones. And then I said, my third joke is going to get an applause. And my third joke got an applause. But it took, if you didn't, like people that were at the show were like, I remember Chris and his brother were like, and Steve, the Mazzillis were like, that was awesome. I'm like, yeah, but it took me three of my 10 minutes to really get that to work again. So if you watch the tape, the first 3 minutes, like I've sent that tape out to bookers because I kill the rest of it. They're like, yeah, the first 3 minutes is weird. If I didn't watch after that, I wouldn't have known to book you or not. And I'm like, yeah, but you didn't know what went up before me to know what that miracle was. There was a miracle that happened there.
See, Mark and I both were lucky because we both had comics.
Right.
The night we did. Yeah.
I had Boozler. I was afraid to follow her.
You had Brewer. Oh. Yeah, Brewer was on like you were on like 2 weeks before me then. It was like Brewer, Billy Gardell, like someone's on the host. Yeah. I'm like, can I get one of those cats? I mean, I would have taken Roach at that point. I would have taken 10 minutes of Roach.
What would Chris Roach do if he saw this happen?
That would have been better.
That's my favorite thing.
So, Joey, don't we have a clip from Tim doing?
We do have a Tim Crumpier clip. Let's play a little stand-up.
I don't believe you.
I am. And marriage is very difficult. If you're not married, I'll let you know. You really, it's all about working on the relationship. That's what you do constantly. And me and my wife, we do. That's all we do. We work on it. Because we're totally different people, complete opposites with everything. It's like I'm a morning person, and she's an alcoholic. So, yeah. She goes a couple of pops, she goes right to crazy town. She really does. Guys, you ever feel your woman angry next to you? And you didn't do it. You don't even know what happened. You just know she's angry. She's smiling to everybody else, but you know you're in trouble. That's like every day for me. This just happened last week. My best friend and his girlfriend and me and my wife went to a restaurant. And in the middle of dinner, my best friend gets on one knee and starts to propose. We had no idea. In the middle of the proposal, he starts to cry. Really sweet. Very emotional. I just look over at my wife. I see her smiling, grinding her teeth. She had a little tear running down her eye. And I thought, uh-oh. She's not crying because he's crying. She's crying because she's mad that I didn't cry when I proposed to her. So I knew as soon as we got alone, it was on. It was on. As soon as the valet shut the door to the car, whoop, why didn't you cry, Timmy? Why didn't you cry? Robin cried. Why didn't you cry? One tear, one freaking tear. Why? I'm like, listen, I've been crying every day since, okay? You're winning.
That's a great bit.
That was the third joke.
Bingo.
Really?
Yeah, that's the one that I just flipped it. And I said, this one will get them. And I actually shortened it. That joke's way longer. I cut everything. I cut that's everything in half.
Bit. Such yeah. a good bit, dude.
No,
well, you know what happened to me? I went last on my show, and the three comics before me absolutely destroyed. I mean, there was not one comic where you went, is someone going to take it easy? And when I went up, I had a bit because that show, they laugh so much. Drew does such a great job. People were telling me, if they, you have 9 minutes or whatever, practice six because you're going to get so many laughs.
Right.
That don't think of it as 9 minutes. But I had one bit that I really wanted to close with. And as I'm doing the act, I realized I'm never going to get to that bit. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, it was like a gift from God. They ran short. And the assistant director starts going like that, and I'm like,
stretch. Oh, yeah.
And I got the end right on the bit, and bam, it killed. It was so great. Like, good night. Yeah. It was great. Yeah, Tim, you have been a tremendous guest, man. Oh, I mean, you made this as easy as it could possibly be, right, Mark?
I mean, just
ridiculous. You don't know this. What?
No, go ahead.
What'd you say?
Go ahead.
You are our 99th guest. This was our show 99.
We got you in on
so
the
So tomorrow we got. Yes, we got you right in. We said we got to get Krabs before 100.
Okay.
So tomorrow's our 100th show. It's a special show. We have two really great guests from Trading Spaces, my old pal Doug Wilson and Paige Davis is coming, which we're really thrilled about.
I had a huge crush on her.
We had Crumpy. She's still so gorgeous. She really is. She's beautiful. So we got her tomorrow night. And Tim, you were tremendous. We have to have you back.
Absolutely.
How about anytime. Our 199th? We'll have you back.
I'll see you the next pandemic. Next pandemic,
stay
guys.
On when, stay on when we go off. Stay on in the backstage. Guys, thank you for watching tonight. Tomorrow night's our 100th show. Paige Davis, our big guest. Doug Wilson's going to stop in and say hi. Be there tomorrow. That's Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
Last call.
Thanks for listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.